acid rain. According to a study published in the British scientific journal Nature, efforts to reduce the sulfate emissions that cause acid rain have also reduced other industrial emissions that help protect lakes from acid rain. AUV. The cheapest way to explore the ocean floor, however, may be with free-floating AUVs, biodegradable. Using genetic engineering techniques, researchers redirected the plant's starch-storing apparatus into making PHB, a plastic that is biodegradable. Brent Spar. And what about the Brent Spar campaign? Didn't your blunders at the time undermine the credibility of the Greenpeace organization?
Shell and the British government caved in. The tug reversed course and took the Brent Spar to a Norwegian fjord port to await a decision about its disposal.
Carbon offsets. Electric utilities in Australia, the European Union, and the U.S., where carbon taxes have been under consideration, are especially interested in carbon offset projects. Cesium-137. The wreck is already leaking cesium-137, a carcinogenic isotope. So far, the leakage is considered too small to affect marine life or human health. Chlorofluorocarbon. The amount of ozone-eating chlorofluorocarbons in the atmosphere is dropping faster than anyone expected. The chemicals should peak around the year 2000, then decline. Desertification.
Desertification.
Sha-mo-hua. Example. Most good agricultural land is already under plow, and each year, desertification, improper irrigation, and overuse take millions of acres out of production. Dioxin. In 1985, the Environmental Protection Agency discovered that this procedure produces traces of dioxin, a highly toxic chemical, in wastewater at the plants. El Niño. The El Niño that began last year and is now breaking up has been linked to record flooding in Latin America, the unseasonably warm winter in North America, and the droughts in Africa. Greenhouse effect. Whether or not the new iceberg is a harbinger of the greenhouse effect, it is clearly a hazard for ships plying the southern seas, and so satellites and planes will keep a careful watch on it. Greenpeace. Another reason for change is that Greenpeace has become a more complex organization. Ozone layer. Last week, a team of researchers from Oregon State University offered a possible explanation. The thinning of the ozone layer.
Data radioed from craft exploring Venus and Mars have helped make us aware of the consequences of such potential man-made disasters as the greenhouse effect and the destruction of the ozone layer.
PCBs. Normal operations at Army bases generate huge amounts of fuel spills, solvents, and polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs.
We live, environmentalists warn, in a world laced with dangerous chemicals, from powerful pesticides to toxic industrial wastes like dioxin and PCBs.
Time classic words. If good intentions and good ideas were all it took to save the deteriorating atmosphere, the planet's fragile layer of air would be as good as fixed. The two great dangers threatening the blanket of gases that nurtures and protects life on Earth, global warming and the thinning ozone layer, have been identified. Better yet, scientists and policymakers have come up with effective, though expensive, countermeasures.
But that doesn't mean these problems are anywhere close to being solved. The stratospheric ozone layer, for example, is still getting thinner, despite the 1987 international agreement known as the Montreal Protocol, which calls for a phase-out of chlorofluorocarbons, CFCs, and other ozone-depleting chemicals by the year 2006.
CFCs, first fingered as dangerous in the 1970s by Sherwood Rowland and Mario Molina, two of this year's Nobel Prize-winning chemists, have been widely used for refrigeration and other purposes. If uncontrolled, the CFC assault on the ozone layer could increase the amount of hazardous solar ultraviolet light that reaches the Earth's surface, which would, among other things, damage crops and cause cancer in humans. Thanks to a sense of urgency triggered by the 1985 detection of what has turned out to be an annual hole in the especially vulnerable ozone over Antarctica, the Montreal Accords have spurred industry to replace CFCs with safer substances.
Yet the CFCs already in the air are still doing their dirty work. The Antarctic ozone hole is more severe this year than ever before, and ozone levels over temperate regions are dipping as well. If the CFC phase-out proceeds on schedule, the atmosphere should start repairing itself by the year 2000, say scientists. Nonetheless, observes British Antarctic Survey meteorologist Jonathan Shanklin, it will be the middle of the next century before things are back to where they were in the 1970s.